Amen. Let's clap our hands for God. Lord, we love you today. Oh, we are just so thankful, God, that we know you. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm standing up here and all I can smell is brisket. Well, I don't even know if it's brisket. All I can smell is smoke. I went by because I was just so impressed that these men would come to ladies' retreat and smoke brisket. And they look like they're having just way too much fun. I think next year we're going to see like 5 or 6 or 7 smokers there just so they could have an excuse to come. And so I took a panel picture of them, which we'll have to make sure we put on Facebook. And we're being invaded by the men. But we are so, so thankful for what they're doing. And go down and make sure you encourage them. And tonight's dinner, I believe, we are going to have the opportunity to taste that brisket that is smoking. Is Sister Wright out here? I'd like her to come. Is Sister Brenda Zinger here? Is Sister Ronalda here? Okay, I'd like you to represent them. This is Sister Thomas. I'd like her to come. She said that she did not believe. They approached me last night in the dining hall. They said, we do not believe you. Unless we can see that man and we can touch that fabric, we do not believe that there are men underneath that. So I just want Sister Thomas to take a look. Touch it. Put your hands on it. Let all doubt. Crazy. She said we lied. She's really looking hard. Sometimes. Today, Ashley. We're going to auction that off. Hey, we are so sidetracked. In fact, I just have to tell you, sometimes the funniest little things happen. So Sister Nichols, she said, why did all the girls have to go? Are we talking today about sex? And I had just finished saying to her that God had given me a confirmation about what I was to speak on. And that God is fighting for us. You know, he's big. The songs, you know, the very first song that we sang, they don't know what we're speaking on. The very first song they sang was God is bigger and greater and mightier. I'm like, how does that relate to sex? So anyways, we are going to be serious now. I want to thank Sister Dylan and the committee for allowing me to speak. And I also really want to thank my pastor's wife and the ladies of Van West. A few weeks ago, we have a prayer group that goes in our church, and we put out prayer requests, and we continually are asking and seeking God for particular things, and I let them know that I really needed their prayers. I wanted to hear the mind of God. I wanted to know for sure that what I was going to speak on was what God wanted me to talk about today. And about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I began seeking God, studying one lesson, didn't feel good about that, studying something else, didn't feel good about that. Really asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to say? Wrote a lesson that I felt like the Lord had given me. Read it to my husband on the way up here Wednesday night at 11 o'clock. So I got up yesterday morning and rewrote it all over again because he had some input too. So this is what I believe the Lord has for us today. And I believe the very first song that we sang confirms that. Our God is stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't he stronger? Amen.
Yeah.
Well, a few weeks ago, we happened to have the opportunity to go to Mexico. But because our plane landed in Los Angeles, we thought, Russell and I thought we'd just be big kids and go to Disneyland. So while we were in Disneyland, my husband said, I think that what we should do is buy Emerson a little gift. And of course, he thought he had to buy Renan something to match the gift that he bought Emerson. Emily didn't get anything. But this is what he bought Emerson. Is it cute? And then Because Emerson has such a cute dad. He bought him this. So me, I said, well, what is that? Because I wasn't familiar with the logo. I was puzzled about the logo. And so I asked him, what does this logo mean? What does it represent? Who is it for? Because I figured it's all over Disneyland. It must mean something. And I found out that this is worn by a man who is part of the Incredibles family. And he is called Mr. Incredible. Now, I have to admit, I didn't know very much about Mr. Incredible or the Incredibles. I did not have, and I do not have, and I have very limited knowledge on superheroes. Some of you might know a little bit more than me. If this was a men's retreat, I'm sure everybody here would know who Mr. Incredible was. But that was about to change because a couple days later, now I have a grandson, we happened to see a little snippet of Mr. Incredible. Well, my goodness, was I amazed. I mean, he could accomplish great things. He had this superpower within him that allowed him to fight villains, rescue people, because he had great strength, he had great ability, and he used this power so that he could help people. He could rescue people. He could save people. You see, he looked just like a normal man. His name was Bob Parr. He looked like anybody else walking down the street until there was a situation that was needed, and all of a sudden that power that was inside him was unleashed, and he could do amazing things. He had enhanced strength. He could press all locomotives. I mean, just one in each hand, an engine in each hand. There he was lifting them up. He had enhanced speed. He could run. He could leap. He could jump over mountains and over walls and over buildings. And my goodness, he had ability. He had enhanced durability. I mean, he was knocked down. He was hit. He was pushed down. And guess what? Every single time he was able to get up because of this superpower that was living inside or working inside of him. And he had enhanced senses. He could hear through walls. He was amazing. And he had an enhanced purpose. He knew that he had to take care of the enemy, or the enemy would destroy the people around him. So he had a mission. He had a calling. He had a purpose. He knew that he had a devil or an enemy that he had to fight in order to destroy him, in order to have victory. He was simply amazing. Incredible means amazing, wonderful, spectacular, remarkable, awe-inspiring. In everything he could do, he tried to help the people around him. Well, so I started thinking about what I was going to speak about, and it just hit me. It was just like, you know what? In the Word of God, there are so many incredible women. If you look through the Word of God and you read it, you will see woman after woman after woman who did amazing feats, who wrestled enemies, who overcame obstacles. They battled internal struggles and fears in order to win victories for their families, for rescue the people that were around them. They fought for a cause that was bigger than themselves. They were, guess what, incredible. And then I began to think of you and all the people behind us. And I thought, the women of BC, you know what? You are incredible women. You are women that have been given a power. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you were endued with a power from on high. And with that power, you are incredible. You are winning battles. You are fighting battles. You are rescuing people. You are helping hurting people, wounded people, protecting people around you with prayer covering. You're teaching with anointing, you're worshiping with passion, you're interceding, you're weeping because you want to thwart the plans of the enemy. You're superheroes, ladies. You're incredible. Not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but because of the one who dwells inside of us, who lives inside of us. You might look like normal women. You might just say, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter. You know, I'm just an employee. Who am I? In yourself, you know what? You might not be what you feel is incredible. But inside of you, living inside of you, dwelling inside of you, is the power of the Holy Ghost. And when this power is unleashed, it transforms us. It allows way that we could never before. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the supernatural power. But you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1:8 says. And ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. This same God who made the heavens, who made the earth, the same Jesus who was born, who did miracles, who died, who rose again, the same God who's God of gods, Lord of lords, the one whose greatness is unsearchable. Guess what, ladies? He's living inside of you. Jeremiah 32:17 says, oh God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your upstretched arm. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for you. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Deuteronomy 10:17 says, the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. Psalms 45 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Jesus, the Almighty God, all of his power, all of his might, all of his ability, all of his strength, all of his wisdom, all of his knowledge, all of his greatness, everything, he is living inside of you. Let's just give him a hand. God, we love you today. God, we worship you today. You are mighty, O God. There is no other like you, Jesus. You are marvelous, incredible, O God. We worship you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost inside of us. Today, if you do not have the Spirit of the Lord, or you do not have the Holy Ghost, you know what? You do not need to leave here without this power of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. It is here today for you to receive. There is no weakness in him. There is no weariness in him. There is no diminishing in him. There's no lessening in him. There's no fading. There's no waning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. He's constant. He's always great. He's always wonderful. He's always powerful. He's always almighty. He is always, always, always the victor. And you know what? He's chosen you to be a receptacle of his power. He wants to unleash it in you. He wants to release it in you. He wants you to minister to the people around you, your world, your family, your network, your people of influence. He has given you the Spirit of God. He wants to use it in you. John 15 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed or ordained you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. So that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Luke 10:19, see, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. Thank God. Like, for women, this is like the worst thing that we could ever see. Snakes and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine according to the power. Because he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to his power, the power that lives inside of us, the power that dwells inside of us. Ladies, because of that, you are incredible. So, at this time, I want to show you something. Sister Leah, help me out. You are incredible. No? There we go. Because of that, ladies, you are incredible.
They can't see it. They need to stand up.
Oh, you'll have to stand, ladies. From Japan for helping me with that. We're living in a world that we have battles to face. The fight's real. And oftentimes it's fierce. Because our enemy has only one intention. His intention is to kill, to destroy. His time is running out.
Yes.
He's pulling out all stops.
Right. Right.
It is the ladies, I believe we're living in the last days.
Right.
And that means he's guerrilla fighting. Mean, dirty.
Right.
The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities or princes of areas, chief rulers and superpowers, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is no way, ladies, in ourselves that we have the ability or the wisdom or the knowledge or the strength to fight this type of battle.
That's right.
And you know what? This is why he gave us the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's right.
This is why he wants us to be filled with his Spirit. This is why he wants us to be renewed daily.
Yes.
This is why he wants us to learn to walk in the Spirit, to move in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit. Because we cannot fight this on our own.
Amen.
1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. Everybody do this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not weapons like bombs and guns.
Right.
On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish or to pull down or to knock down or to bulldoze strongholds.
Yeah.
We demolish, we flatten, we topple arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take into captivity. We take in prisoners. We abduct. We take in I can't say that word. We take in prisoners and we abduct every thought to make it obedient to God.
Right.
We cannot do this without the presence of the Lord. We have to seek him. We have to every day say, God, today. Lord, I can't battle it today in my own strength. Lord, I need you. Today, fill me again with your presence. Lord, fill me again with your Spirit. Renew the Holy Ghost in me, God. Let it be fresh today. Today again, oh God, I'm going to pray in tongues. Today, oh God, I'm going to speak in tongues. Today, oh God, just let your Spirit come over me, because I need today to be filled. How do I know when I walk out that door what I will face? How do I know what my families will encounter? How do I know what my co-workers are going to need? We need the Spirit of the Lord, and we need to not be afraid to operate in the Spirit. You've got to get over that. I sometimes battle that. I sometimes struggle with that. We all do. We need to be able to say, God, today, let me operate in your Spirit. Let me operate in the gifts today. God, if there's someone you want me to pray for in the middle of my workplace, God, give me the courage to do it. If there's someone I need to stop in the street and say, hey, I want to talk to you about God. If the Lord prompts you to do it, do it. Because how do we know? Emily and I were just talking. There's been two prominent suicides this week. Famous people that you know. Some of you might have a Kate Spade purse. I wish I had one. But you know what? With everything she had, she lost the battle.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you said last night, is there anyone who's maybe prayed for Brother, or Brother Obama, maybe, had prayed for President Obama in the Spirit? Maybe never before. We need to operate in these gifts. There are some fabulous, fabulous women in the Word of God who have fought the good fight of faith. They have stepped up to the battle. They have gone toe-to-toe with the enemy. They have overcome some overwhelming circumstances. They face their personal fears, obstacles, circumstances. And I want to talk a little bit about them today. Esther. My goodness. Here she was, a beautiful Jewish lady. She was married to King Xerxes, which made her the queen. But there was also a wicked enemy, Haman, who happened to sit in a place of honor. He was a proud man, a wicked man. And he expected all the nobles and all the royal officials to bow down to him when he went through the gate. But unfortunately, or fortunately, There was one man who was a Jewish man, Mordecai, who was the uncle of Esther, and he worshiped the one true God. And he was not going to bow his knee to Haman. Well, this made Haman furious. And he plotted a plan, and many of you know the story. He plotted a plan to go and kill or have all the Jews killed. And he wanted every single one of them destroyed. He wanted them annihilated. He did not want them to succeed as a race because he was angry and he was wicked. He wanted the destruction of the whole Jewish race. Esther, Queen Esther's family, her friends, her neighbors. But God had another plan. God always has another plan.
That's right, yeah.
Aren't you thankful for that?
Yes.
The enemy comes with all of his devices and all of his ways and all of his plans and all the things he tries to do to destroy. But God has a plan.
Yes, he does. Amen.
And Mordecai, he came to Esther and he relayed that plan. And he told her what was happening and what Haman was intending to do and to kill everyone that was a Jew. And when she heard it, she said, I can't. I can't go in before the king. I haven't been called in for 30 days. If I go in before the king, I will die. It's against the protocol. It's against the custom of the day. She was afraid. I'm sure she felt fearful. She felt insecure. She lacked the knowledge of, how am I supposed to go before the king? This isn't how it's done.
Right.
And Mordecai challenged her in Esther 4:4. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family, you'll perish. And then these famous words that we've heard so many times. But who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time. He put her in that place of influence, that place in the palace, that position. So when this time came, he could enact his plan.
Right.
He had allowed her to be the most beautiful woman from the time she was born. He had prepared her for the time that she would be in the palace, for the time that she would have to step up to this challenge so that she could save her people.
Right.
Can you imagine the range of emotions that went through her? Fear, doubt, anxiety, insecurity,
right,
lack of wisdom, knowledge. How do I move heavy? And yet this responsibility was heavy upon her.
Right.
But if I don't do something, the people will die. If I don't risk it, the people will die.
That's right.
This was on her. She was marked and in the position to be probably the only one at that time who could enter into the presence of the king.
Yes.
And begin to intercede and plead for her people. But somewhere out of the depth of that struggle, something rose up in her. Something said, you know what? If I perish, I perish. But I've got to go. I've got to make intercession. I've got to plead to the king. I've got to do something because I cannot stand by. I cannot watch my people perish. I cannot watch them be destroyed. I cannot let this plan happen. And she went into prayer. She went into fasting. And after 3 days, she gained entrance to the king. And we know that the Jewish people were saved because she stepped up. And not only were they saved, that enemy was destroyed. And not only was the enemy destroyed, everything that belonged to him became hers. Is that not a great way to win a battle?
Yeah.
Ladies, you have an enemy. He is trying to destroy your family. He's just trying to destroy your loved ones, your friends, your city, people that are around about you. But God has placed you. He's placed you in a position of influence to those people. He's placed you in a prime position to affect them. He's placed you in a position that I don't have. And maybe someone behind me doesn't have because I don't know your network. I don't know your people. I'm not a member of your family. You are. He's called you for such a time as this. There are people in your world depending on you. They are waiting for you to intercede in the presence of the king. They're waiting for you to call out and say, God, save them. Lord, reach them. Do something to stop the enemy. Do something to destroy his plan. Lord, we plead the blood over that situation. We call your name, oh God, into this situation. We rebuke back every force that would try to destroy. He's counting on you. You might be saying, but I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I have anxiety. I have doubt. I don't know what to do. It's too big. It's too difficult. I'm just situation. The Lord has a word for you today. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon. Everybody say, no weapon.
No weapon
that is formed against you will prosper. Amen. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. For this is the heritage or the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Deuteronomy 3, 22. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is fighting for you. 1 Peter 3, 12 to 15. For the eyes of the Lord are toward his righteous. He's looking today towards his righteous. And his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you do suffer a little for righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. And do not be troubled. God is fighting for us. When we feel those times of doubt. When we feel those times of fear. When we feel those times of insecurity. God, I need you. I need your wisdom. Show me how to move forward. Show me, God, what to say. Lord, pray through me right now. I don't know how to intercede for this situation. But God, I'm seeking you on behalf of these people. And Lord, today I'm just asking that you will just pray through me. That's the beautiful thing about being able to pray in tongues. And the Spirit maketh intercession for us. All around us, there's people that need rescuing. There's darkness that must be pushed back. There's intercessions that must be made. There's battles that have got to be won. Who's going to do it?
Yeah.
You weren't born when you were born just because your parents had a lovely intimate moment. But you were born so that you'd be here right now.
That's right.
You were born so that you would be here in the last days.
That's right.
You were born because God wanted you to be part of that beautiful end time army that is going to go against whatever Satan tries to put up. You were born because inside of you is living the Holy Ghost, and he wants to use you as an incredible woman of God to do a work for him. It is not a coincidence that you were born in the last days. You do not have to do this alone. Have I not commanded you? Joshua 1:9 says. Be strong.
That's right.
Be courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
Psalms 18:39. For you have girded me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. Right. There is so much scripture about God fighting for us. There is so much scripture about fighting our battles. There's so much that he is mighty and he will go before us and he will make a way where there is no way. We're not doing this, ladies, by ourselves. When we're fearful, we turn to him. When we're weak, we turn to him. When we don't have an answer, we seek him. God, I need you today. I've got to know how to do this, Lord. You put me here. We're not weak. We're not small. We're not insignificant when we live and move in him. We are women of the Spirit, daughters of the Most High. You are, ladies, incredible.
Right.
I think of J.L.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a woman of tremendous courage.
Right.
I mean, she was literally looking in the face of her enemy.
Yes.
Israel was at war with the Canaanites. King Jabin was ruling. The commander was Sisera. He was mean. He was powerful. He was cruel. And they had oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Deborah was the prophetess at that time, another great woman of God. She called for a man named Barak. Barak, come. God has chosen you to take our armies and to fight the Canaanites.
Right.
Guess what he said?
Yeah.
He was afraid. He said, Deborah, if you go with me, I'll go.
Yeah.
If you don't go with me, I'm not going. My goodness. She said, okay, I'll go with you, but I just want you to know one thing. You are not going to have the glory of killing the enemies. King, Commander Sisera. That glory will go to a woman. They went out to battle. The battle was fierce. The forces of Sisera were losing. So the commander jumped out of his chariot and began to run away on foot and finds himself at the tent door of Jael. Now let's skip ahead to Jael. We don't know much about her. We know that she was a Bedouin. She was the wife of Heber the Canaanite. Right? That's it. She's probably just working in her tent that day. Maybe she was baking. Maybe she was cooking. Maybe she was cleaning. It was maybe just another ordinary day for her. That was about to change. Has that not ever happened to us? You get up, it's an ordinary day. And all of a sudden, it seems like all hell is broken loose. And you find yourself in a fierce battle for yourself and your family. Well, the next thing she knows, here's the commander, Sisera, standing at her door. So he takes refuge inside her tent. She covers him with a mat. She gives him some milk to help him sleep. My goodness, this just amazes me. Then when he's sleeping, she takes out a tent peg. About this, and it says she goes over softly. Of course she goes over softly. Because if she didn't go over softly, he'd wake up. And if he waked up and saw her with a pet tank, a tent peg, what would he say? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just going out to prepare my tent. You know, like, from the inside, yeah. Sorry. You know, you just think about this situation. She goes over there softly. She has to kneel down. She had to go get a hammer. I just can't even imagine. She has to. I would have. Come here, Ben. Just lay down here for a second. I can't kneel, so.
Lay here, yeah.
She goes over. He's laying on his temple. He's got like, turn around on the side. Yeah, side. She comes up softly. She kneels before him. And she hammers this thing right through his head. Into the ground, the Bible says. He is stuck there. I couldn't have done it. You can go. He did good. This is why we need him. The Bible says that she drove it into his temple, down into the ground, and he died. Are we surprised? I mean, what a situation. Do you know how much courage that took? Can you imagine when the idea popped in her head? I could just go get one of those tent pegs, and I could just drill it through his head. It would have been absurd. It would have, she probably would have, she couldn't hesitate. She had to get on it right away. Because he might have woke up any minute. She did not have a second opportunity. This was one time, one opportunity. It was now or never. This guy's going to die, or the battle is over. Or she might die. I don't know. She didn't look around and think, oh, where's my sword? She probably didn't know how to use one. Where's my knife? You know, where's my other tools? I mean, all I have is a tent peg. My goodness, what can I do with a tent peg? She had to trust what was in her hand was enough. She had to trust the skills that God had given her were enough. The abilities that she possessed were enough. She didn't have time to go look for something else. She didn't have time to go look for another resource. It was what she had there and then that was enough. You know why she was good at that? She had used that before. She had put that tent up a few times. She had practiced a few times. She knew, I can take this, and in one strike of my hammer, that could be through his head. She killed that enemy out of obedience to God. Because they weren't enemies. She was another group of people. And they weren't even enemies of this commander. She wasn't an Israelite. And yet God put in her heart, kill him. This was the word that was spoken by the prophet. This victory will come. This deliverance will come. This enemy will be killed. The word of the Lord had spoken it. And so in her heart, the idea came into her mind. And there she went and answered the call. Do you think she felt fearful? Absolutely. I mean, this guy had quite a reputation. When that plan came in her mind, I'm sure she was afraid. There were some struggles that were going on inside of her. I'm sure her hand might have trembled a little bit. I'm sure there were some doubts. What if I don't get it right the first time? What if I don't have enough strength to do it? What if I start and can't finish? My goodness, what's going to happen? Have you ever felt these kind of battles? Have you ever thought, God, what if I start and I can't finish? What if the skills that you've given me aren't enough? What, God, if I don't possess inside of me the ability to do this? And yet somewhere courage rose up in her. She took what was available to her. She obeyed God. And you know what? She killed Israel's enemy. What enemy is looming in the doorway of your home,
yeah,
your family, your life, your workplace, your neighborhood, your church? What enemy needs slain?
Right.
Is there some challenge that's facing you? Something that your God is prompting you to do? Are you feeling fearful? Are you feeling inadequate? Anxious? Do you tremble at the thought of obeying that prompting, that calling, the word that the Lord has spoken unto you? You think, God, I don't have the tools. I don't have the ability. I don't have the skill. I don't have the training. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Remember Philippians 2 and 13, that it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do.
Yeah.
His good pleasure. You are not alone.
That's
he will
right.
never leave you or forsake
right.
you. Isaiah 34, 3 and 4, strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Lord will come with vengeance and with recompense of God. He will come and save you.
Right.
Psalms 138, on the day I called, he answered me. You made me bold within the strength of my soul.
Right.
God has not given us a spirit of fear.
That's right.
You know, I think this is, I really believe this is one of the things we face as women, a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
I know I probably battle this more than any other thing in my life. Fear. It comes in all sorts of different hats and wears all sorts of different masks and all sorts of different faces. But you know what? We need to make sure that we can battle that.
Yeah.
Do not be faint-hearted. Deuteronomy 20 says, do not be afraid. Do not panic. Do not tremble.
Yeah.
Do not before them because the Lord your God is with you. Just very quickly, one last couple things. We're running out of time. Mary.
Yeah.
Think about Mary.
Yeah.
The angel came to her and said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow. Just think about this. She was a young girl. And through her, the Savior of the world was going to be born. Over, just, I can't even quite think about how she would feel when the angel came and said, fear not, Mary. And maybe her thought process was, I'm young. I'm a virgin. No husband. What will people say? I'll be an outcast. Will people believe me? What will happen to my reputation? What will Joseph say? You know, all of these things came out of her heart. And we see this. We're saying, like, finally she says to the angel, how can this be? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside of you will be called the Son of God. The word of the Lord came to her with a promise. The word of the Lord said, inside of you, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. And what will be born out of you will be called the Son of God. It came to her. She could have said, no way.
Yeah,
no. On to the next girl. I cannot do this. This is too difficult. I'm too afraid. She could have maybe debated or argued with the angel. We don't see any of that. She could have shrunk back in fear and said, I can't do it. Instead, what did she do? She submitted herself to the word, the plan, the future. Has God been talking to you? What's he trying to birth in you? What has he been talking to you about? What ministry? What area of service? What has he been saying? Hey, I want to use you in this manner. I want to use you in this way. I want to do something through you. Out of you, I want to reach this person or that person or this family. And you might find you're saying, how can this be? It's too far reaching. God, I can't do it. And out of the depth of your soul, you might be saying, God, how? The answer is the same. The Holy Ghost will come to you. power of the Most High will overshadow you. It'll be God that's working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It won't be you, but it will be him working through you.
Yes.
Mary's part of this plan was to say, God, be it unto me according to thy word. And that's our part sometimes. God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I do not know. I do not understand. It just seems beyond me. It seems bigger than me. It seems more difficult than me. But God, if you have spoken it, if you have come to me and you've talked to my heart, Lord, if you want to burst something out of me, then God, be it unto me according to thy word. That is our answer. Let it happen, God. Let it happen. For I know the plans that I have toward you, says the Lord. Plans, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Because everyone that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Emily, if you'll come. Ladies, you are incredible. You have the Spirit of the Almighty God working in you. He has filled you with his Spirit. Let's learn to walk in him.
Right.
Let's learn to move in him.
Right.
Let's learn to seek him,
right,
to obey him, to allow him to work through us. God, unleash the power that you put inside me. It's not here just so I feel good. It's not just here so I can worship you in the presence of the Lord and enjoy what I'm feeling. It's not here so I can just shout and jump up and down. But it's here, Lord, because you want to use me. There's something you want to do through me. There's something, oh God, that you called me to. There's a ministry. There's some person I can reach. There's someone I can pray for. There's some way, Lord, that I can help somebody. You might look like ordinary ladies. Earthen clay. Earthen vessels, clay jars. But inside you is the all-surpassing power of God. What we accomplish will not be in our own strength, but is his. We have supernatural strength, just like Mr. Incredible. I can't do all the scriptures. We have supernatural speed and agility. We can run through a tree, creep over a wall. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Right.
We have supernatural durability, pressed on all sides, not crushed,
right,
perplexed but not despaired, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Oh, enemy, don't rejoice over me.
Right.
Even when I fail, even when I fall, even when I stumble, even when I don't make the mark, you know what? We fight. We battle again. We will get up. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not gloat over me, O my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, you will be my light. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to fight some battles, ladies. We're not finished.
Right.
In fact, I think we're going to fight some stronger battles than we've ever fought before.
Yeah.
But we're ready.
Yeah.
He's equipped us.
Right.
He's given us what we need.
Right.
He intends for you to win.
Yeah.
He intends for you to be a victor.
Right.
He intends for your families to be saved.
Yeah.
He intends for your co-workers to be affected. He intends for your church to grow. He intends for healings to come. He has given you the gift of the Holy Ghost, and with that he has given you gifts. You will speak words of wisdom. You will speak words of knowledge. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You will speak in tongues and there will be messages in tongues, and you will prophesy. Why? Because the God of our salvation is living inside of us, and he is working through you. You will push back, Psalms 44:5 says, your adversaries. Through your name we will trample down those who rise up against us. For in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. But thanks be to God. Everybody say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's all.